On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are joined by Jeffrey Pearl, the CEO and managing partner at OTG Consulting. We're going to talk about all things Avaya RingCentral, talk a little bit about BroadSoft, get into what OTG is, and learn about Jeff's life, which is fascinating.
It is
something
fascinating.
That I am very jealous of. So,
me too.
Stay tuned for a talk about sloths as well.
Oh, stay tuned for that. Thanks, David.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
And I'm John Roth.
Today we're going to be joined by Jeffrey Pearl, the CEO and managing partner at OTG Consulting.
He looks like William H. Macy. A young William H. Macy.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
You know,
I'm kind of the expert on that.
You
I
are
think.
Expert. You know, I was working in Gainesville.
You've told me the story.
About when I saw William H. Macy.
At the mall.
Yeah. He came up to me. He was with his dad.
And you're working at the kiosk.
Yeah, I was working at the kiosk. This is a good story. And he came up and I said, I like your work. I saw you in Seabiscuit. He was like, oh, thanks. There you go. That's my William H. Macy story for you.
That's awesome. Well, he's from that area.
His dad did live there. I don't know. Yeah. It was 2004.
But the guy, remember I showed you the doppelganger, the guy at the car wash? That was him.
I don't think that looked like him either.
Huh?
I think your doppelgangers are very fun. I think they're consistent. I don't think they're accurate.
Well, David, it's all in the art form. It's not supposed to be consistent and not supposed to be like, oh, spot on. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you really did find it. It's fun, David.
It's fun, yeah. I agree with
you. We don't need parameters around it. We don't need to be hurtful.
Anyways, I'm looking forward to today's interview with Jeffrey. What sort of sparked this was I read his article about the Avaya RingCentral merger, acquisition, cash infusion, whatever we're calling it, on his website. Thought it was very poignant. And we reached out and we just want to get him on, talk about that, talk about OTG, what he's doing, where he's living, his whole life. Looking forward to talking to him. So, this whole Avaya RingCentral thing is interesting, huh?
It is kind of interesting. It's we've seen it so many times before.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
But we usually see it in more of an acquisition.
Yeah.
This is different because you've got this RingCentral where it's like we're investing $500 million and it's going to be like this Avaya Cloud powered by RingCentral. It's very confusing.
I mean, I thought Avaya Cloud was on its own. They've been saying that for years. Like, oh, yeah, it works perfectly.
The white flag.
Obviously, it's like it does not work. So,
well, I'm keen to hear Jeffrey's take. So let's bring him in.
Let's bring him in.
All right, let's call him.
I'll get him on the shoe phone.
Oh.
Okay, Google.
Thank you, Les.
Okay, John and I are now joined by Jeffrey Pearl, who is the CEO and managing partner at OTG Consulting. Jeffrey, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
I think I want to start by saying I'm pretty jealous because I've just learned that Jeffrey lives on the side of a ski resort. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, we're up here in Copper Mountain. It's great because instead of going to the gym, we get out and do a few runs. We kind of work from home. That's the nice thing about some of these consulting gigs we're on. We're able to work right here from home. It's nice. So,
are you a skier or a snowboarder?
Skier.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So every
there's a lot of people say to you like you suck because of that. Does that happen, Jeffrey? I'm just going to throw that out real quick.
If I don't hear that, I'm feeling like I'm not telling you enough. Right?
Okay. Okay.
I love to ski every other year, so we get out to Park City in Utah and ski out there, and it is absolutely beautiful.
Well, you guys should come out here. We have a kickoff. OTG has a kickoff every year, sales kickoff. We have a lot of vendors come out and sponsor here at Copper Mountain, and it's a three-day event. We've got nice wine tasting dinners, whiskey tasting, skiing, and then we do a lot of training and telecom stuff.
I think that's a pure invite,
VIP
invite.
Wine.
I'll take all of that.
I like whiskey. I like skiing. Those are all things I enjoy. Okay, send us the information on that, Jeffrey. John and I, we should need to do a live podcast there.
I think we should.
We should be the official podcast of the OTG Consulting kickoff.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So anyway, so Jeffrey, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about OTG. What does OTG stand for? What do you guys do? What's your sort of niche in the space?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been here in telecom for, I guess it's like 25 years now. So started out in sales and worked my way up the food chain up to CEO of a publicly traded company. I've run my own VoIP companies and all that stuff, and done some work with BroadSoft and all the carriers. So we're leveraging all of those relationships and experience. So OTG stands for Old Telecom Guys.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Old telecom guys and gals, because we do have quite a few women on board as well. But, you know, came up with the idea after all these years working with agents in the space, but there's a lot of confusion out there. I know we're going to talk about one big, iceberg approaching out there on the horizon.
Yep.
But there's a lot of confusion. So we're helping our clients understand, what's going on with these, bankruptcies, the mergers, new technologies coming, looming competition, turn down of the PSTN, all that stuff. So OTG is a consortium. We've got 190 what I call partners on board. So we go out and consult essentially our clients for free. We help them, move to the cloud, whether it's often a via phone system to a cloud-based phone system, or MPLS to SD-WAN, security servers in the cloud, you name it, we consult them. We have experts across the board.
So are you working primarily with customers on a consulting basis? And when I say customers, I mean the end users like the big like enterprise companies, or are you working more with MSPs, VARs, or are you working with vendors like ourselves? I mean, or is it a mix?
Yeah, it's a mix. OTG is just working with customers. So SMB and enterprise. I mean, I've done deals to help, two people working from home, running a travel agency, all the way up to some of the largest enterprise customers on the planet. So we're working the whole gamut. And we do some work into ISPs and service providers. Under another moniker, I do consulting for phone companies, people that are selecting technologies, go-to-market strategies, M&A activity, that kind of stuff, just leveraging relationships.
Very cool. Very cool. So is there you mentioned you work with SMB up to enterprise, but is there a typical profile of the customer that you guys are looking for that's in your sweet spot?
Yeah, I tend to kind of focus right on, hosted voice is kind of the tip of the spear for me, if you will. That market is, 25 employees up to a few hundred. If you were to kind of paint a bullseye, that would probably be right in the center, right?
Yeah, that's what primarily the kind of customers that we after too is, we consider that sort of that mid-market 50 to 500. And that's our good sweet spot for us too. So that kind of fits the mold what we're seeing. So you're working with customers, sort of getting them transitioned into the cloud. What are customers' concerns today? What are they coming to you with? What are their three or four biggest things that they're worried about?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, surprising to us, because we live in this environment, we're in these technology bubbles. A lot of people don't understand, the wind down of the PSTN and moving phones to the cloud and the internet. So I think, a couple of the big concerns that are still out there. I mean, there are still concerns around, hey, if I'm using the internet for all my phone calls, what happens if the internet goes down?
Yep.
Obviously, we talk about SD-WAN and backup, the drill there. But I think one of the things we're seeing looming out more so is, concerns around security, hackers, ransomware, all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's probably one of the latest things that I'm seeing more concern and more discussion around. Like, I think that's new. It's a newer thing, yep. Right? There's still plenty of people we have to convert off of traditional telephony over to hosted VoIP. That's still huge. But if you want to talk about a new thing, I think security is more and more of a concern.
And what would be like a solution you'd offer from a customer really concerned about security?
Yeah, we have a bunch of different partners that will come in and they'll do pen tests and, go through and take a look at all the different, software security services that a client's using and find holes. It's interesting. When I was running the VoIP company, I had some guys, do some testing on my business. What these guys do is they pull up in the parking lot and, hack into your Wi-Fi, and then they come in the next day and show you all this stuff, your employees' salaries and, information on clients. And they say, hey, do you want me to fix this? It's like, yes.
Wow.
You don't ask how much it costs. You say, yeah, just fix it today. But, I don't think this is a surprise to any of your listeners. As I talk to all these security experts, I always ask the same question. Do you ever go into a business and not find anything? The answer is no. I mean, they always find something. So, it's a it's a constant battle because, you know, the bad guys are real smart and they're thinking about this stuff constantly and how to get in. So we, on the business side, in order to protect our business, we have to constantly be checking and rechecking what we've got going on. It's not like in the old days, you set up a firewall, you set it and forget it, and didn't have to look at it again for a year, right?
Yep. It's one of the things we're hearing a lot too. I think we had a security expert on the pod a few episodes ago who basically the moniker was, you know, you're either going to pay for it now in protection or you're going to pay for it later in a breach. And so
budget for it.
Yeah.
You might as well budget set aside for it.
Yeah. And I think that's been something that's really stuck with us over the last few months has been like, even if it's not something you have budgeted for today, you better be budgeting for it in 2020 and beyond.
Yeah. I just did a webinar with Alert Logic. You know, those guys are pretty good and very smart around this area, but you know, this stuff is all around us. I was going to the, just to a dealership up here. Get an oil change, and I was kind of hammering them on their phone system because that's my thing. I couldn't even zero out and get a live person. So I'm talking to the guy right in the grease bay, and he's saying, "Hey, it's funny you bring up the phone system because hackers came in through our network, and you know, I can't even use my computer. We can't use them nationwide, and they want $1 million, you know, to get the keys back."
Wow.
But so you know, this stuff's real, you know, and I mean, you know. I felt bad for these guys. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, what I like about these stories, this is real. I mean, I see this stuff up close and personal. I'm in a bay with, you know, cars jacked up. And this guy's right here telling me the story. And, you know, the look of fear in their eyes, they don't even dare to get on their system. Right.
Yeah, we had a customer that just switched. That was actually a voice customer of ours that just added on our virtual desktop solution because they had a breach on their data side, and you know, they were like, look, I can't have this happen again. So they added on what, you know, we're partnered with Citrix and selling their VDI, and you know, that's one thing that we've been hearing a lot of on the security side is how do I fix that, and how do I make sure my data and my voice is going to be secure. And you know, unfortunately or fortunately, I guess depending how you look at it, it's a bit more expensive than traditional UCaaS, but it's the only way to know that you're going to be secure moving forward.
Right. Exactly.
So I read your article you posted last week about the RingCentral and Avaya. I don't know if you want to call it a merger or RingCentral's investment into Avaya or whatever the case is, but I'd love to hear your take on it. I've talked to a few of the analysts already that, you know, we talk to you on a regular basis about it. We've heard some FUD. Just would love to hear your take on it and where you think it's going to go.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking to a lot of industry experts myself and trying to get the details. I think there's still a lot of it that isn't fully baked yet, or at least isn't out there in the public arena yet. But, you know, it's interesting. So I've been, you know, say one of the pioneers in hosted VoIP, you know, a CEO at ICG. We're one of the first ones to have hosted VoIP up there in the market. And then obviously the companies that I ran, Lineside or IP5280, sold it into Megapath, which is part of Fusion. So I spent a lot of time in the space battling, you know, the old school stuff, you know. And by the way, I used to sell all that stuff back in the day, right? But, you know, it's interesting when Avaya went bankrupt, right? That's just 2017, right? Just two years ago, I believe. I think they filed in January and came out in December. So, you know, we're inside of 2 years. When they went bankrupt, it wasn't really a surprise. I mean, for those of us that are in the industry, we see the attrition of those existing customers, legacy business. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people in the space. And if you're running a big legacy business, it's tough. Let me say this too, to just kind of give them a bit of a hall pass. I mean, you can have the best sales force on the planet, but you know, if the majority of your business, and I have these discussions, 80% of your business is in this legacy stuff that's declining, and you got 20% over in this new cool cloud space. I'm making these numbers up, by the way. This is like anybody in space. It's really hard to outsell that attrition. So, I mean, bankruptcy was not a surprise. So, you know, coming out after that, it's like, hey, why would anyone go on Avaya? But, you know, when anyone comes out of one of these bankruptcies, they all say the same thing. Hey, we're all clean. We're stronger than before. You know, it's great. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still looking at the same business. So, you know, I'm not surprised that, you know, they had, this announcement. I was surprised about this announcement specifically. You know, there were a lot of rumors out there. I was at some telecom events and people were talking pretty openly. I guess it was a pretty open discussion about a few. We'll leave the names off, but you know, they didn't call. They did not call Ring Central, so that was interesting. So my take on it is, if I were to talk to somebody at Avaya a week before they made that announcement, we would have an argument about how great Avaya Cloud is, and they compete with the likes of Ring Central and 8x8 and Vonage are going to clean their clock star to star, right? All of us out here in the market, you know, it would be an argument about how they're going to still run the cloud and they're going to still have their own service out there. And I mean, it would be a full blown argument, right? So I think it's a shock to not only the industry but even all the internal folks that it's just hosted voice.
Yep.
I was on LinkedIn pinging a few guys on the product side up the food chain a little bit, just trying to figure this out. And of course, you know, they're taking the company line as they should. You know, this is a great opportunity for both of us. We're going to leverage each other's assets, and this is really great news. And I'm saying, well, yeah, I we'll see. I mean, I think it's great news for
Ring Central. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Not so great for Avaya, because I think this is going to accelerate the losses in their base. And you know, the question that remains to be unanswered, like, why do you need Ring Central to do, I'm just going to say, just hosted voice? I mean, we've all been doing this for years. It's not really that hard. It's hard when you do integration and all the other stuff we're doing, the add-ons, but you know, just that hosted voice piece. I was surprised that they did a deal like that.
Well, I mean, to speak frankly, I mean, they don't have a cloud solution. I mean, I think that's what you're sort of alluding to. And I think them sort of partnering or merging with Ring sort of is an admission that they can't develop, that they can't and are not going to develop one. So I think it's a boon for Ring. I think the challenge to me is when you look at a model, a sales model, where Ring Central is going to be fulfilling these orders for Avaya, you're going to have to pay an Avaya salesperson, a Ring Central salesperson, and a partner a commission. How do you do that and keep the cost affordable when cost has been going down for 3 or 4 years? And I don't think that's, and then not to mention the human element of, like, if I'm a salesperson at Avaya, why would I refer a customer over to Ring Central? Like, you know, salespeople, you're a sales guy. Like, that's not something you're easily just going to hand off. So I think there's a lot of questions still to be answered around this sort of infusion of cash. So I'm very interested to see, obviously, as a bias, a star to star. I mean, I have a vested interest in this, but it's an interesting model that they're going with, which is sort of like this referral fulfillment. In a sense, it makes Avaya almost like a master agent.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, and I got another blog. I'll send you a copy when I get it out. But it's cooking up my head. But it's basically, you know, who are the winners in this Avaya Ring Central partnership? And you know, you start out with, we've already discussed it, it's definitely a Ring when you talk about those two.
Yeah,
not Avaya. And I think, you know, you saw them both get a little bit of a stock pop. And you know, I'm not a financial guy, but I'll tell you, it's just that's financial people not understanding. You know, they see two companies come together. But my bet would be acceleration of customers increases off of Avaya, not just to Ring, but elsewhere over the next few quarters. And it's going to be fairly significant. So, you know, the gist of who are the winners when you talk about this too, you know, certainly Ring, we're all in agreement there.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I would say the real winners, though, are Star to Star and all the other.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree. Yeah.
Yeah,
because you didn't pay $500 million, and correct. By the way, they just whacked the hornet's nest upside the cone there. They're all flying out. All the opportunities are swirling out there. And so I've been doing this for a long time. I wish the heck, as a sales guy, if I put a proposal in front of somebody, they would just take it, sign it, and buy it. But guess what they do? They go out and they go get bids from 3 to 5 others. That's just the way it works. So to your point, when it's whatever the flavor is, whatever they're going to call it, Avaya Ring platform. Yeah. IT guy brings that to his boss, the CTO, and says, "Hey, boss, we're going to get rid of that PBX we've had for, you know, we've been using them for 40 years. We're going to finally move to the cloud. That's great. If we're going to forklift this whole thing, who else are you looking at?"
Yeah.
Is what it's going to be asked back to the IT guy, right? So I think it's going to be a very competitive situation on those deals. It's not just going to be a handoff. That's my take on it anyway. I'm looking at it as opportunity.
I think the other opportunity too is part is a win for partners. So partners, I think that these Avaya partners who have been leaving Avaya for years and looking at, I think they have, they're going to look at it and be like, I think it's going to, you talk about an acceleration of customers leaving Avaya. I think it's going to be a massive acceleration of partners.
Well, we've seen that over the years of the Avaya partners have been, you know, they hang on by their, you know, their nails, so to speak, just hanging in there going, okay, maybe this time it's going to work. And, you know, this might accelerate a little bit to go, okay, they've gone that route now.
Yeah, so, there's no, I have no choice.
There's no, I can't go anyplace else. I need to move on. And we're seeing a lot of, we've seen a lot of partners move over in those directions. Just in the last few months.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys play in that space a lot. I mean, you fit nicely in that VAR space, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially for those folks who come from Avaya or from the traditional, you know, PBX type atmosphere.
Yeah, the comfort of buying, you know, a platform that, that really has, you know, survivability in the event you lose internet, survivability locally. They can keep those just like they would on a PBX. So that's where those customers are much more comfortable in our environment and how we operate. So we're a little unique and in typical UCaaS.
So similar to the, and I love this conversation because I think it's fascinating to see what's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be, I think, you know, we've already seen a bunch. I think we're going to see more in 2020. I would love to hear sort of, I know you were at BroadSoft. You know, we have had a lot of sort of those BroadSoft type partners come to us too. You know, for the BroadSoft Cisco side, you know, what's your take on where they are right now and how they're moving forward?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, BroadSoft, I knew those guys from the beginning in the VoIP business, and you know, they did a great job, you know, taking over a few of the competitors that were there in the slow times, right? So they were dominant. I mean, there was a reason. If you kind of went around the horn, if I kind of read off the logos to you that are on BroadSoft or that were on BroadSoft, you know, it's the who's who in telecom around the globe. I think a lot of the folks that are in the space, they always get concerned when there's mergers like this out there. You know, what are the new guys going to do? Are they going to charge me a lot more for the software? They're going to charge me a lot more for maintenance. Am I going to have the same support? You know, that kind of stuff. So I think there's concerns out there when you talk to the service providers. Of course, the end users have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're all crazy behind the scenes here about, you know, all the different technologies behind the platform. And I often tell people this, you know, back in the day when I just started a kid right out of college, AT&T just broke up, right? We're doing long distance, right? Lucent 5Es and Nortel DMS 250s. We didn't talk about those switches back then. We were talking about the company, how we can support you, what the rate was. It was a whole marketing spin, right? Who the heck ever talked about whether it was a Nortel DMS 250 or a Lucent 5E, right? So I think to the customers, they don't really care.
They're blind to it. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I do think service providers are kind of watching and trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny when before I came to Star2Star, and I worked at another company. I think if you would ask me what phone service we had and what was my brand of my desk phone, I would have zero idea.
As long as it works.
Yeah, as long as it works.
As if it's working, you're not looking at it. But if it's not, then you're wanting to move on.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. So we've been doing a lot of, in a short period of time, we're doing a lot of things with the OTGers. I do calls on every Wednesday. We do nationwide calls and every other Tuesday. You know, filling the funnel and how we approach customers and that kind of thing. And we talked about this quite a bit. To your point, calling on the customers, I said, hey, guys, when you start to share this information about Avaya, we're collecting all this in RingCentral and the partnership, and then now Avaya is waving the white flag and saying, hey, let's push our customers over to our arch enemy. When you have this discussion with a customer, like, you know, if you go into 10 Avaya customers and have this conversation, you know how many are going to know about this announcement?
Zero, one,
maybe 1% at best.
Right. I mean, that's why a lot of those guys are there. They just don't know. So there is an education process that has to go on. You know, we're playing a bunch of things, landing pages and, you know, outbound campaigns. And I'm sure you are, as I know, you know, talk to a lot of people. There are a lot of people, a lot of seagulls circling these French fries that somebody left on the beach. Right.
Ooh, I like that. I like French fries. Okay. So let me ask a question, Jeffers. How old do you have to be in the OTG group? And is there a card? Is there a card associated with it?
No, we used to joke about that, but you know, I was at an event last night, and we had some young kids joining. Yeah, they're trying to figure this thing out. So there's not really an age limit.
Okay.
Oh, so John, we could be in.
We could.
All right.
Well, I definitely.
Well,
could
John,
be
you're
in.
Definitely.
I'm in. I'm in every club that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, we're having some fun with it, but you know, at the end of the day, you guys will get this. You know, I started like tongue in cheek OTG, right? But you know, there are a lot of things happen when these mergers happen, and it's like musical chairs, and the music stops, and there's not a job for both people, right? At the end of the day, two phone companies come together. You don't need two CTOs,
right?
You don't need two SVPs of sales. You don't, you know, go through the whole thing. That's happening across the industry. So, you know, I do a lot of help with folks because, you know, stay in touch with a lot of people across the industry, help them find jobs. But, you know, a lot of times, like, look, why don't you do this for a bit? Because I'll tell you, this is a great way to go out there, and we're helping people every day. I mean, that's one of the things we preach. We're leveraging our experience. You know, that's the old part. I mean, that's the nice thing about having some years.
Yeah.
You got a lot of friends out there in it at high places and you know, the service providers. You've seen a lot of this stuff happen before. So we're helping someone. So when we knock on the door and someone doesn't know anything about what's going on with Avaya now saying, hey, we can't do cloud, I'm gonna push it to the ring, or someone filing for bankruptcy. I mean, you know, people are using phone companies that are bankrupt. They don't even know. But yep. So we try to help them understand and what this all means and navigate it. So it's been fun. It's been and working real well.
You mentioned you're at a show. Do you travel a lot, head around to events and speak?
Yeah, you know, we do. You know, it's funny, we're here on the mountain, and you know, I for a living, was on planes quite a bit, you know, running sales organizations and whatnot. I mean, I think, you know, for, you know, probably 20 years straight, I was on a plane every week. So, you know, now my wife and I, the kids are grown. We jump in the Jeep and we drive around the country, and we actually go to see, I got one kid in Chicago, one in East Hampton, New York. We have family in Arizona and East Coast. And all along the way, we're meeting with vendors like yourself, new OTGers that are coming on board. You know, we're speaking in front of CTOs and things like that, and just helping get the message out. So, you know, and it is kind of fun to see the country that way. We're having a lot of fun with it.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to on those kinds of trips? Let's see. I don't know, a little bit of James Taylor, maybe some Jackson Brown.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My wife's converted me. She's a big 70s fan. So yeah, James Taylor's definitely on that playlist on the front. I'm still kind of locked in the 80s myself, but so we listen to all kinds of stuff. You know, the funny thing is we're listening to a lot of audibles, you know, these.
Oh, books, yeah.
Which is really cool. Because what we're doing outside of this is a softer, kinder, gentler Jeffrey Pearl. You know, we've kind of changed. It used to be so hardcore. If you worked in the sales organization and you took all your vacation time, you were weak.
Yes.
And now, you know, Karen and I are writing a book on relationships, mindfulness, and healthful living, that kind of thing. So we listen to a lot of books in this space. So I'm learning a lot of new stuff as well, outside of this crazy technology that we all live and breathe.
So you could be considered almost like the Sting of the telecom world.
I like that.
You like that? Okay.
Yeah,
did you get that?
I got it.
Do you know who Sting is?
I am young enough and old enough to know who Sting is, I guess. I fit in the Sting. He's a scorpion, right? Relax.
Well, I don't know what sign he is, but I think he's.
Scorpio.
I thought you said that. I thought he's an Aries, I believe. I'm not sure. Look him up. Les, can you look him up? See what. Okay.
What's his sign? Yeah, we'll figure that out.
What's his sign? We'll figure out and tell you in a second. I got a question for you. This is. Are we almost to the point where I can ask?
Yeah.
So you're going on these lot of trips. Do you eat pie? What's your favorite? What's your favorite pie? Flavor.
Strawberry rhubarb.
Rhubarb. Okay.
No, strawberry rhubarb. It's one pie.
Okay, one pie.
One pie.
You ever had rhubarb?
Never had that?
I've had rhubarb.
I had rhubarb many years ago as a kid, but I grew up in Florida, so they don't grow rhubarb in Florida that I know of.
Right. Well, so part of the whole healthful living thing, my wife hates when I say this because she's a hardcore vegan. And I tell everyone I'm 99%. So when it comes to things like pie and donuts, I'll cross the line.
Okay.
So pie and donuts. So no meat, but pie and donuts is where you go.
Yeah, because you know, there's usually eggs or something in there, right?
Yeah, some butter. Yeah.
But she's hardcore. Man. But yeah, so pie is on the list. How'd you guess that? You're like a mind reader over there.
Almost. I'm almost. I'm a little psychic. Yeah.
John likes to get at the end of the podcast. He always likes to try to figure somebody out and ask some pointed questions.
Yeah.
And he's what Sting is?
Sting's a Libra? Oh, we got Libra. Sting is a Sting Libra. Is Libra. Okay, all right.
A Libra.
Interesting. Okay. So, in addition to that, where would be one place, Jeffrey, that you would love to travel that you've never been before?
Oh, never been before. Well, it's on our list. We're trying to figure it out. We're going to head down to Australia for a bit.
Oh.
Okay, a little down under.
I have never been, but I would love to go.
I wonder if they have rhubarb pie down there.
Probably not.
Probably not.
They probably have kangaroo pie.
But you can't eat that. Definitely can't eat.
No.
You can't even sneak that, Jeffrey. She'll smell that on you a mile away, the kangaroo on you. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, well, Australia, if you go, you got to go for like a month because I've heard it's just
it's
tough to come back from that from a time change perspective.
Well, that's what we do. We did Costa Rica for a month this year already. We did a month last year as we're writing the book. So we like to go set up camp for a good month or so at these spots, and then elsewhere, you know, we'll go for a couple of weeks. And that's what's kind of nice about this business. You know, when I say I'm helping people too, the other side of it is too, we're just helping other people kind of live their best life through this. So I do a lot of work trying to get other OTGers over the top to try to, live this life. I mean, everybody's got their thing that they're trying to spend more time doing, whether it's a hobby, a sport, travel, all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can't do that if you're working for the man in a big telco and you got to be at that, up on the top floor and you got to be the first guy in, last guy to leave. It's kind of hard to go spend a month somewhere, right?
Absolutely. It sounds like we need to get a job over at OTG, John. What do you think?
I need a month off. Can I be an intern at my age? I'll be an intern.
Now, the beautiful thing is, though, that's what's great about this stuff and all of our technology. I mean, seriously, I got out of Costa Rica for a month. We're still on 100%. We're doing our calls, web calls. The Wi-Fi is down there at the restaurant, down by the pool, and down the beach. I mean, it's amazing. They have the little Wi-Fi sign that's painted. It looks like someone painted it with a coconut brush. It's just so funny. They have that stuff down there, but it's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So
that's awesome.
Where can our listeners find you on Twitter and such?
We do have a YouTube channel. Karen and I do a lot of videos out there. It's under Jeffrey Pearl.
Okay.
We post all the stuff on LinkedIn as well, just under my name. And we've got a lot of stuff on the blog, and I've been a little complacent. I got to get back there and start populating these blogs. You'll see a lot more now with all this activity, but that's on otgconsulting.net.
Awesome. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us today. When you need to send John and I the information for your kickoff, we will be there drinking whiskey and wine and skiing.
I don't do any of those, right? I want to go, but I don't do any of those.
I know you don't drink and you're not a skier.
Well, I skied once.
What the hell are you going to do there?
I skied once. I skied actually down the hill. That was it.
You didn't take the chairlift back up? That was it?
I was pretty much done. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I've got a good spot for strawberry rhubarb pie down the street.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm in then. I'm in.
Well, Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining us today. We loved having you on. We have to have you back on again. And we'll talk to you again soon.
It's been a pleasure. Okay, thank you, Jeffrey.
All right. Enjoy. Thanks.
That was a really great interview with Jeffrey.
Absolutely. He's an awesome guy.
He
like a guru.
I want to live his life.
I do too. Yeah.
Man, he's enjoying life.
He's pretty cool, dude.
Except for the vegan part.
Yeah. I want to have a hamburger when I want one.
Yeah.
But you think well, if you're living that lifestyle, it's like
that's not Colorado life, man. Yeah.
I take a month off at a time. I mean, I am I'm all in.
Yeah. I think we need to figure out maybe we start the YTG, the young telecom guys.
I wouldn't fit into that category, I think.
You can be young.
I've got a discount on haircuts now. So I'm just, I'm at that point, you know.
So you've hit 55.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I have.
Slightly or?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
But I think his points about Avaya and RingCentral are sort of spot on.
Yeah, I think that when you see that over and over again, the, you know, the acquisitions of these traditional, older, you know, premise-based equipment, trying to bring on that new light, and we're going to bring this one on, and it's going to work this time, you know, and I think we've all seen it so many times, and, you know, we try to be kind and gentle on this show, but sometimes you go, really? Is that going to work? And
well, they have bought, how many systems have they bought?
Nortel, and, yeah. I mean, you know, they bought a few over the years, and where are they now? You know, went through bankruptcy in 2017, and all of a sudden we're stronger than ever. We'll see.
I think he said there at the end that they sort of raised the white flag, I think is sort of just saying, look, we can't do that. We're not going to, I think it's sort of that inventor's dilemma kind of thing where you just kind of can't do it anymore. I don't know. There's something to it where he said, hosted voice, it's not that hard. You know, there's so many of these companies, but to do it right is difficult. And to do it the way they were trying to do it, where you sort of set up these stacks of servers, but they're not actually data. Like it was sort of single tenant op. It just wasn't going to work. And so, you know, I do think it's a boon for Ring. I think that,
absolutely. I think it's going to help them much more so than, you know,
but I do think that the people side of it is interesting because I don't know if you're an Avaya salesperson and you get a customer opportunity to have a hosted voice sale, you're going to pass that on to RingCentral gleefully.
I've just been in the sales business too long to really think that that's going to be just a gleeful thing that they're going to do. Like, oh yeah, let's just bring this over. They're going to try to sell it their way, and it's going to be internal, and it'll be probably about a 2 year.
And where does the partner fit? Because it's like, you get this customer that comes to you that. And you
Can
pass
you imagine
it to Ring's...
that partner going, well, who are you? Yeah. Oh, you're with the Ring side, and you're with the Avaya side, and
how does the customer?
And why am I in the middle of this battle over this one customer?
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating to watch. I do think that's gonna be fun to watch.
Maybe it'll be a reality show.
Well, that would be cool.
That'd be nice.
Who would film it? Less.
Less wood.
Yeah.
Less wood. Yeah. A lot of rhubarb pie.
What about Australia? I want to go there.
It'd be okay.
It's a long way.
It's a long way to go because you don't go there for
a week
or two.
No. You got to go there for a month.
And then, you know, we just don't have, I mean, we're the guys that are in, you know, a company that we can't be out that long.
Yeah, but you could work down under. Saying, like, in general, would you want to? I mean, you could go there.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would love to go there. Yeah. I would love to go to, you know, a lot of
how do you feel about Vegemite?
Oh, I don't know, but, you know, I don't want that consist of, but I don't think it sounds, I don't think it's very good.
I've tried it once, did not care for it.
No.
Also, a kangaroo meat.
Yeah, is it a little tough?
A little tough.
Little gamey?
We had a friend of ours who was from Australia. We had an Australia party, and he brought all these Australia things to try, and that's where we tried the. You know, surprising, shocker here, Outback Steakhouse, not very Australian.
Not authentic?
We took him there and he was like, what the hell is this? None of this is Australian food.
Well, it's just, you know, that's what we do. We create the illusion.
Yeah, right. So that's steak marketing. And lobster.
That's marketing. That's marketing.
Steak and lobster, as Australian as it gets.
Oh, boy. On the Barbie.
Right. We're going to grill steak and lobster.
Oh.
That's definitely not American.
And the mac and cheese with the lobster in it. That comes from the same package that all the other restaurants comes from, right?
Hormel.
Yeah.
So I do think we should take a trip to Australia. Let's go. I want to go there.
We'll do a podcast from there.
Fly down there, one episode, fly back.
No.
We could do the episode on the plane.
No.
It takes so long.
No.
I just saw.
Let me think about it for a second. No.
I just saw in the news this week that they're testing out the longest flight ever from New York to Sydney, just over 19 hours. Mm. And they just did it, their first successful test, and they're running all these tests on the people who were on the plane to see, like, how their body responded to being on a plane that long. Basically, you know, like, you know, how are they cognitively? How are they physically? You know, they were talking about all these, like, when they do this flight, they're going to have exercise class on the plane. Cause like, you really need to be able to get up and move around.
Yeah.
And you know, how do they do the lighting and what kind of food and just 19 hours.
That's pretty brutal. That's pretty brutal.
So they have two nonstops. I think one from New York to Sydney, and one from London to Sydney.
Done on Koala Airline.
Qantas.
Koala.
I don't think Koala. I think Qantas.
Is it Qantas?
Yeah, I don't think it's Koala.
It's not the Sloth Airline. That'd be kind of slow.
No, I think Qantas is like the Australian.
Sloth
airline.
Is also something in Australia, right? The Sloth.
The three-toed sloth.
Yeah. Or the four-toed.
I don't know much about sloths.
Less?
No.
Anything about sloths?
Good King Wenceslas?
Yeah. It was on a Sloth airline, because that'd be kind of scary, thinking it's going to go slower than the other airlines.
The rainforest of South America and Central America.
So not even Australia. Are there no Australian sloths?
It doesn't appear.
Okay.
I bet there's a sloth in Australia. One, at least one.
Well, Sting is a Libra.
I've never seen a kangaroo in real life.
I haven't either.
I think I've seen a koala.
Well, I think you probably have seen them in some of the zoos.
Actually, the last remaining Australian sloth passed in 1970.
There was an Australian sloth?
Yeah.
Never passed. Like it was.
Passed. Like,
oh.
I mean, well, that's kind of sad. It went extinct or yeah, just yeah. in Australia?
Well, the species
Australia.
Itself is not extinct.
Well, it was born in 74.
It was born in 74.
Miss C was the last remaining sloth in Australia.
Miss C?
See, I knew there was a sloth. I knew there was one sloth in Australia, and you didn't...
Well, I wasn't even alive in 74, 75, 76, or 78.
Oh, man, those are my glory years, brother.
She lived to be 43. Yeah.
I wasn't born until 83. So she lived to be 43?
Yeah.
Didn't you just say it was born in 74 and died in 78?
No. Didn't say it was died at 43.
No, you said that the last sloth left Australia in 1978.
I misread. She died in June of 17.
Getting a little aggressive.
June of 17. She just died.
She just died. Oh,
2 years ago. Same year Avaya went bankrupt.
Whoa, there's something. There's something there. That's another podcast right there. We're going
to
have
need a
something
sloth
on that.
Expert yeah. on to talk about that.
Yeah, David getting a little aggressive there, wasn't he on the date when it died? Oh,
well, I mean,
calm down there, little fella.
Calm down, little pony. I'd like our viewers to be informed, and make sure we get the facts right.
Dave, this is podcast. No viewers.
I mean, listeners.
We've got some in Bahrain.
Frederick is watching.
We have
no, but those are listeners, not viewers, because there's no one viewing.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, yeah. I see. You
kind of record
led
it.
Me into that.
You know, we could record it and then charge people to watch the recording, like it's a premium service.
Mm.
Like for $5 a month, you could not only listen, you could watch us do it.
Well, that's probably more fun to watch us do it because we're kind of gangly.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Anyways, I think that's it for today. Gangly. Not like some sort
of a gangly conversation. It's
I don't think that's the right word. Is like something that's like that guy on the side of the road, the thing that floats back and forth in front of a car dealership. That's gangly. What's that guy? What do you call that thing?
Ace, do you need a Snickers? Because you're pretty angry here.
What do you
David?
Call that thing that goes back?
It's it's a floater. It's a, I don't know.
Les, what do you call that?
I don't know.
The balloon thing that floats back and forth.
Yeah, that's got a
name.
Let's
just call the balloon guy
gangly
that floats
guy.
Back and forth. we'll go with gangly.
All right.
As long as you're okay with that, because you're getting a little aggressive here.
Jimmy likes the lane. All right, that's it for today. For Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Ross.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.